Good morning, everybody. How's it going? Albert J. Hernandez, the Untamed Chef here. And I want to say we are live, and we are. But I'm actually driving right now. It's been one heck of a morning already. But you know what? By the grace of Grilling Ideas Radio, we're able to figure out a way to do our radio show while we're even driving. So thank you so much. So what we have today packed is a really unique show. The show I want to really emphasize on today is, well, as a Catholic Christian, we practice Lent, and today is the start of Lent. Now, most people who practice Lent, we're supposed to do an abstaining or a fast from meat today and every Friday until the last Friday, until Good Friday, which is the Friday before Easter. So what I have planned for you guys today is a show that's really going to emphasize on cooking vegetables and seafood. And I promise you, what we talked about on the air will definitely be able to be replicated in your kitchens as well, because the techniques and the way I describe them, a lot of people say I do it better than anybody else. So we'll see how good I really am. I want to give a special thanks first and foremost to all of my amazing sponsors. Thank you all so much for making it possible for me to do what I do and to share my passion with the world by the airwaves of Grilling Ideas Radio. We are the true rock stars of the food world when it comes to the airwaves, and nobody does what we do better than what we do. So thank you so much for that opportunity. Okay, so the very first thing that we have to do is, I got to tell you guys how insane my week was, because I got to say it right now, this was, and like I said, we started Hell Week, and I jokingly say that, but I truly mean it. It really was an unbelievable week, and everybody who was part of it in some which way, shape, or form, I love you because you made me stronger or you helped me. So thank you so much for that. Now, I did the World Ag Show on last Wednesday. Which was awesome, because I had did the radio show and then I did the World Ag Show. So if my show seemed like it was kind of rushed, I apologize for that. You guys know how much I care about you, and I desire only to give you the best show I could possibly give you. But it was really, really, it was not even the last thing. It was the second to the last thing before that Hell Week was over. Hell Week was over on Thursday with Dining in Darkness at the Cellar Door, which, in my opinion, was an absolutely huge success. The food was unbelievable, and I'm going to go down my menu here so everybody knows what we served and what we did. And I promise you guys, what we did was amazing. It was really beautiful. It was fantastic. And everybody really got to experience dining in a whole different way by putting those blindfolds on and captivating yourself into my realm of culinary paradise. Everyone got to see food and hear food in a different way, and that made me very happy, because I feel as a chef that we were very, very successful in hitting all of our marks and all of our targets on trying to give an unbelievable dining experience. So here's the breakdown. The first course we did was my amuse-bouche, which was a Southwestern sweet corn bellini. It was topped with a 24-hour infused roasted red pepper and jalapeno cream cheese. And I also put some bacon on top of that. So now you have your sweet, you have your heat, you have a little bit of your savory, you have a little bit of your salty and your crunch from that bacon. It was a knockout. It's also the amuse I use to do most of all of my dinners and competitions. This little dish right here has won over 5 awards all over California. So the next time somebody tries to brag to you about making this extravagant thing, tell them I know a chef who's beat everybody with a dish that has 8 ingredients in it. And I really have, so I've been very grateful for that opportunity. The second course that we did And like I said, we're trying to play to the senses here. So everybody kind of knew what that was when I advertised this in the paper. Well, when the paper came out and did a piece on it, they knew already, okay, this is what we're getting. So what does the chef have, you know, for our second course? Now, bear with me, everybody, because this is the food. This is what we made, and this is why we're untamed, because this is what we do. The next course was some Tom Newman, who's a local farmer here in the Valley, local greens. I did carbonated blueberries that we used an ISI professional chef whip, and we injected it with pure CO2. By using the ISI, it gave the fruit like a Pop Rocks texture, or not texture, but a Pop Rocks effect, you know, fruit popping on your tongue while you're eating it. I then did a Rosenthal olive branch, award-winning olive oil. We did an olive oil cloud. The way we did the cloud was we used tapioca maltodextrin. What the tapioca maltodextrin did, when you add fats to it, it turns fats into powder. So we were able to turn olive oil into powder. This was such a knockout. We then put it with some Bravo feta cheese. And like I said, we're playing to the senses. So that's the most important thing, guys, what we're doing is playing to the senses, making this happen. So with Bravo feta cheese, then I also did some compressed melon. The compressed melon was really cool because we compressed the melon for 8 hours in the same orange olive oil that we used to make the cloud. So by compressing the melon together with that, it was just a winning dish. It really was, because now you have your sweet, and then you have these funny textures now that are popping on your tongue, and you don't know what you're eating, and that's exactly the effect that I was trying to give off. The next thing we did after all of this, so we got a lot of fruit, we got a lot of fresh vegetables. Bear with me here, audience, because I promise you, it gets good. So after we have all these sweet flavors, before anybody can even taste the flavors of the Untamed Rainbow and what we're doing, I then smoked it with a mixture of apple and cherry wood smoke. So now when the dish gets to the table, everybody's smelling around like, whoa, what's going on? You know, their senses are on high demand now because their eyes are completely closed. So now they're eating what they think is going to be some kind of a smoky barbecue or who knows. And if they know me well enough, they know darn well the Untamed Chef isn't going to serve barbecue at a blind dinner. Absolutely not. But we smoked all the fruit. So now we have a smoky, carbonated, pressed, amazing, amazing salad that really just captivated the audience. And they knew right away, we are in for something special tonight. And that's exactly what we did, guys. We gave them an amazing experience that can only really be measured truthfully as Untamed. The next course to follow was a homemade tortilla that we made in-house. I topped that with pickled radish, purple onion, cilantro, with a crispy piece of medium-rare duck. And so far, everybody was like wowed out of their minds. Like, oh my goodness, this chef is unbelievable. We want to see the food. I took a lot of pictures. I'll post them on my Facebook page so you guys can all see what Dining in Darkness Valentine's Edition looked like. The next course we did was a chili verde carbonara risotto. Now, this dish right here had a lot of mixed feelings because I've taken the best. When I think of risotto, I think of just the creme de la creme. You could tell a lot from a chef by his risotto. If he could cook a good risotto, he's a good chef. If he cooks a risotto that's dry, most of his food is probably dry. Risotto, in my opinion, it's the clincher. It's the one that says, you know what, I have come a long way, or I haven't come a long way yet. And believe me when I tell you guys this, I have come one hell of a long way, because everybody I went out there afterward. After the courses, we don't let everybody keep the blindfold on. We don't want everyone to feel that, you know, I read some reviews, and one of the reviews I heard from the Dining in Darknesses all over the world was, it felt like I was eating while I was dead. And the one thing I do not want you to feel like when you're eating my food is dead. So we let everybody take the blindfold off. After I walked into the room, and I got just a standing ovation, which I thought that was kind of cool. I humbled myself right away, though, and went back in the kitchen and slammed a plate on my finger. I don't know how the heck I did that, but I did. So that was – I love it when God gives us these little glimpses of I guess, of that celebrity. Everybody tells me all the time, Chef, you're a celebrity. And I was like, no, I'm not. I am just a – I'm a guy who loves what he does and does what he does better than a lot of people. That's all I am. That doesn't make me a celebrity. That doesn't make me a public figure. I mean, if people want me to be on their shows and they want me to do a lot of things, that's fine. And I totally and humbly accept that. But I don't consider myself no celebrity. I'm an average Joe, just like everybody else, who works hard, who loves his family, who loves his Lord, and who's doing what he's supposed to do. And I feel, honestly, guys, that I was born to cook. There isn't anything in the world that I think that I should be doing other than what I'm doing now. And I thank you guys all so much for that, because it's an opportunity that allows me to share the best of who I am, not only as a chef, but also as somebody who's really trying to make a difference in the world. And I really feel that what the Untamed Chef's doing is really setting itself apart from the food scene here in the Fresno area and the whole San Joaquin Valley. We do things that nobody else even thinks about. We cook foods utilizing the best of the best, and the best of the best to me, it comes out of the San Joaquin and the Central Valley, because that is the best soil in the world. So I don't care if you have rooftop gardens in New York, or if you have, you know, gardens or botanical gardens in your basement, wherever your restaurant is, I guarantee you, somehow, some way, Valley soil is in there. Even the person you bought the soil, they may buy it from New York, but they manufacture it here in the Valley and sell it to New York. That's got to be the case, because nothing grows without the Valley. So I'm very, very proud to represent the Valley to the fullest of my ability and to share my knowledge every day with all of you guys as much as I possibly can. The YouTube channel is growing up really, really big, and we'll get into that right now. I want to do the very last course that we did. So after the risotto carbonara with chili verde, It was a winner chicken dinner. We didn't have no chicken, but I'll tell you what, it was over. I knew right away, okay, we have come a long, long way, because we have just captivated everybody into appreciating and understanding this concept. And I believe that the event already 2 months from now is completely sold out. I'll have to double check on that. But like I said, you guys, if you cook with your heart, you can never go wrong. And that's what we try to do all the time. Every time I cook with my heart. Yeah, anything I make, even if it's just something as simple as a sunny side up egg, I really, really passionately care about how I'm cooking that egg. And you have to whenever you're cooking Untamed, because the Untamed concept is cooking on a level that transcends far beyond normal cooking. And most of my clients that I cook for, they eat at Michelin restaurants. They eat at James Beard Award-winning restaurants. And they understand that, man, Chef, you definitely are doing something different. And that's what keeps bringing us back. So I'm forever and eternally grateful for that opportunity. The very last course I served at Dining in Darkness was a chocolate strawberry Zinfandel ice cream. And the Zinfandel ice cream was paired with fresh strawberries. So it's chocolate strawberries and Zinfandel ice cream. It's paired with fresh strawberries. I also did a chocolate chantilly cream. And then we did a smoked almond that we use mesquite. So now you had a mesquite almond with a chocolate strawberries and Zinfandel ice cream that we made using carbon dioxide, which means while you're eating the dry ice, So pretty much what we did is we take dry ice, you guys. I pound the heck out of it, turn it into powder. We sieve it slowly into a bowl that's mixing a custard. I cannot discuss the custard because that is my own recipe. And one day it may make me a lot of money or it may not. Who knows? But we really try to utilize everything that we can in the most unique way. Most people, they don't go out and they do a lot of molecular gastronomy and they make the caviars. They do all these little things. And don't get me wrong, it's fun, it's unique, and I love doing it myself. But at the end of the day, I just want you to be able to taste my food and its pureness. If you taste the pureness of my food, then I know that I've done something right. So like I said, get creative out there. Anybody has any questions, anything going on, please feel free to let me know what's up, because I definitely, and I mean this sincerely, I want to help everybody as much as I possibly can. That's what we're trying to do. So here's the breakdown of this week. So that was Dining in Darkness, and it was an absolute hit. I'm grateful because I don't think it could have gone any better. I really don't. We had a full house. Everybody was excited, and everybody was delighted, too, because they were very happy. And if everybody's happy when they're eating my food, then I know, guys, I'm doing the right thing, and they were. So, like I said, always try to take your food to the next level. Don't be afraid to hold back. Give me a quick second. I'm going to get a drink. My throat feels a little dry. So, like I said, we want to really try to get everybody happy about our food. So let's just try to do a little bit more every day. If you're going to make dinner tonight, you're going to make a steak, you're going to make some potatoes, and let's say you're going to make some asparagus, and you want to just keep it easy, why not add a little bit of caramelized onion to your asparagus? Why not add a little bit of garlic to your asparagus? It's learning to do small things that help us eventually to be able to do big things. And that's how I live my untamed style. I just try to do simple things as right as I can. And when there's a need to add a little bit more, a little bit, or take a little bit out, then I do it because I listen to everybody who I work with. I listen to everybody who I cook for. So the World Ag Show, it was fun. This is the biggest agriculture exposition in the whole world, and it takes place right here in Tulare County, in the city of Tulare. So Tulare. So everybody says New York. The city's so nice, they named it twice. Well, Tulare is the same thing. Tulare. Maybe not the same, because then the state would have to be called Tulare. But you guys get what I'm saying. So we go up on this thing, and I got to say first and foremost to everybody who volunteered or who helped at the World Ag Show, you are all rock stars and unbelievable how somebody can put that much effort and that much work into doing something. It really is a blessing being able to see what they're doing at the World Ag Show. These ladies have got this thing down to a science, and oh my goodness, if I could work that perfect, maybe I would be doing a lot more than I am now, and I don't think there's anything else I could possibly do. But what they did was unbelievable. It really was. It was special, and I'm happy to have been a part of it. I really am. It was my first year, so I was the rookie. Not the rookie at all in the terms of this guy don't know what he's doing, but the rookie, and I didn't even know where to go. Now, I have to say this, and I normally wouldn't do this because I think all of our officers, they're good, fine, and they all deserve credit in so many ways because they put their lives on the line every time. But the Tulare Police Department on the day of the World Ag Expo really was not very helpful at all to me. And I told them, too, you guys are going to be on my radio show, because I'm going to definitely let everybody know how unhelpful you are. And they were very unhelpful. Now, I don't know if they're dealing with irate people all day. They're dealing with people who, I mean, they got five vendors for the beer cart, and I would imagine they're dealing with some kind of drunk, you know, buffoons. And maybe they were at their level that day, and they were ready to pop. But my word of advice to the Tulare Police Department is when somebody asks you nicely a simple question, you don't got to be an asshole about it. Be nice about it. You don't got to be rude. You don't got to be mean. Just be real. I asked you kindly, hey, I just want to know where I need to park. And the guy says, well, you're going to park right there. I'm like, I'm doing a cooking show in 15 minutes. He's like, well, that's all I got to tell you. So what do? I asked the next officer. He seemed like a nicer guy. And he had a beard. I always thought people that have beards are kind of cool. I don't grow one personally because I cook, but that's just my own thing. And I asked him, he says, are you deaf or are you dumb? Those were his words. Are you deaf or are you dumb? He just gave you an answer. What answer do you think I'm going to give you? And I'm not going to mention the officers' names because they know who they are. And I gave him my card. I told him, I hope you listen to my radio show because I'm definitely going to say something about you guys. But I do got to say this, that you cannot go through life. I don't care if you got a badge. It's the same thing like with me. Oh, you're on TV, you're on the radio. It's like, that does not mean anything. You do not have the right to go around and treat anybody wrong. Because you never know who they are. You never know that maybe they do have 100,000 platform a month that listen to what they say. And I'm not here to bash anybody. We're not in that business. I'm here to encourage people to cook and to do good things with food, and that's exactly what we're going to do. But I just thought they needed to get a little shout-out because I did tell them something is wrong, and they're not going to get nowhere like that. They were very, very rude. And the sad thing is this, these guys are young, which means they've probably barely been in the police academy or police, been part of the police department for a few years now. 5 tops. And acting like that already, I'm sorry, but that's just really not, that's not good to act that way. That's for everybody. That's even for me. There's times when my wife has to grab me by the ear and just say, hey, honey, your head's getting too big. Come back down. And I humbly accept that. Because I've said it once, I'll say it again. My talent is a God-given talent. Everything I do, everything I am, everything I have, it's from him. I'm honored to be able to share my knowledge with everybody on food as much as I can. But at the end of the day, it's for the Lord. It's not for me. It's for you guys. I try to get better every day so I can give you a better show every day. A special thanks to my new sponsor who's considering really strongly coming on, Green Mountain Wood Pellet Grills, Mr. Larry Allen, who's looking to really have me fill some big shoes here. So I'm very much considering his opportunity, what he's offering. But if anybody's ever used a Green Mountain grill or a Traeger, you understand that this style of technology, it really is far superior than any other grill. And it's different. And they're a personal sponsor of mine. I'm very grateful for that. But if Green Egg is listening out there, I'd still like to have you guys too. So please, don't hesitate to send me a grill and make me part of the Green Egg family. But until I can be a Green Egg, I'll definitely be a Green Mountain. So I'm good with that. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We were doing some things with the Green Mountain, checking it out. Now, there's a couple of things you got to remember whenever you're using a Green Mountain. If you live in a condo, you probably don't want to use a Green Mountain in your backyard because the police department and the fire department will show up at your door thinking your house is on fire. And sad as it sounds, that did happen to me. And you know what? It happens to the best of us. That's exactly what happened. So I'm cool with that. You know, I told them I was doing some cooking back here. And they said right away, okay, we knew it wasn't a fire because fire is black smoke, not white smoke. So we knew it wasn't a fire. And not only that, but the whole block smelled like fresh wood, you know, good wood, smoking wood, which I believe we're using walnut wood pellets right now. And I got to tell you guys, this is a unique grill, super cool. It's all electric, low electricity. No more lighting fires, no more charcoal, none of that. This is all done, believe it or not, from my phone. I can program my phone to the grill, turn the grill up, down, on, smoke, with the push of a button on my cell phone. I just think that that's really cool, because that just lets you know how far we've come along, you guys, with technology. We really have broken that whole, how far can we push it? When you could turn a grill on with your cell phone, I think that we have come a long, long way. So I'm very, very grateful. Thank you so much, Mr. Larry Allen. He's actually one of the guests at my dinner. And I'm, like I said, I'm very grateful for the opportunities that come my way, because I do work hard as much as I possibly can to earn them. Nothing in this world is ever given, and I would never take a handout from anybody or anything. I really do try to do my best when it comes to cooking and sharing my knowledge of food and the food world. So I had some questions today from my wonderful Facebook followers. Like I said, we're in Lent. We are in a very holy season in the liturgical calendar, if you're Catholic, Christian. If not, and you just want to learn some really cool recipes for making, you know, lobsters and mussels and all that good stuff, well, then I'm your chef too, because like I said, we're on a show for teaching concepts in cooking, and I definitely want to do that for you guys. So my wonderful cousin, we're just going to put Connie T. We don't want to put last names on there. I don't want anybody doing Facebook stalking or anything. You guys know what I'm talking about. She asked, shrimp. How do we cook shrimp? Now, two things. The first one is this. There's a way to cook shrimp, and there's a way to cook prawns. Prawns are the big boys. Shrimp, I like to call the cockroaches of the sea, because they eat everything. But they do taste good. Now, there's a couple things that we have to do. First of all, Valerie, whenever we're cooking with prawns or shrimp, right down the back of your shrimp or prawn is the stomach. The first thing we have to do is we have to devein the shrimps or the prawns. You simply just lay it down on its side, take a knife, nothing too sharp, just sharp enough to tear through the skin. We're talking maybe about a quarter inch into the skin, depending on how big the shrimp or prawns are. Very simply, run your knife down all the way through, and you're able to see more than likely if they're farm-raised shrimp or prawns aren't going to be as dirty, because the reality is this, guys. They're starved to death. By starving them to death, they don't have a dirty vein, which is pretty much a dirty stomach. But if the stomach is dirty, it's going to be black, or it's going to be like an off-white color. It very easily comes right out. And you do this while you're running the shrimp under cold water. Now, the first thing is this. We have to get the shell off of the prawns or the shrimp. I like to always start with the back, and you break those two right before the tail starts. You break those two pieces of the shell and then pull up, and that'll take all of the shell right off. And that makes it easy to expose the meat. Well, we can then make the slit in the back. Remember, always practice safety when you're doing this, because we don't want anybody getting hurt. That's the worst thing that can happen, is somebody getting hurt, and I don't want that to happen at all. So remember, safety first. And it's real easy. It's very easy to get them clean. Cooking them. I recommend cooking prawns on each side, I would say medium heat for about a minute and a half. And you have to just be checking them. If they're starting to feel a little bit tight on one side, pull it off. If they're starting to feel a little bit tight on the other side, pull it off. And the only reason why is we don't want to overcook the prawns. So what I do is I turn a pan on medium heat, about a tablespoon of olive oil mixed with vegetable oil. And the only reason we do that is because the olive oil, the smoke point, it'll start to smoke right away. And also when you cook olive oil, you actually make it rancid. And all the good stuff that's found in olive oil, well, guess what? It's not there no more because you've just cooked all the good stuff out. So remember that. I put a little bit of shallots, a little bit of fresh garlic. Throw my prawns in. I let them cook for about a minute and a half on one side. You know what? It depends on how big they are. If they're really big, a minute and a half. If they're medium size, I'd say 45 seconds to 1 minute. And every second does matter and count, guys, whenever we're doing prawns. And the reason why is they do cook fast. And like I said, the rule in my kitchen is if it bounces, it bounces out. That's always been the rule. That's never going to change. And whenever we're doing this, we always got to remember it's safety first, medium heat. You're not going to have anything that's going to overcook. And I always recommend do medium heat first before you do anything else. And the reason why is medium heat, you can actually control your temperature more. If you go high, then you got to progress down to medium when it starts to your cool down process. And we don't want that to happen because for somebody who's learning how to do this, I want to make this as easy as possible for you. I do not want to make this difficult at all. So like I said, pan, oil, garlic, shallots, salt, pepper. You can salt and pepper the oil and then put the prawns in. Depending on how big, 45 seconds to 1 minute, turn it over, 45 seconds to 1 minute, starts to feel tight. You're going to turn them all up to where the prawns are laying up like the number six. Allow that to cook a little bit more and turn your heat completely off. So once we, the number six, and I know that sounds kind of funny, but shrimp are shaped like the number six or nine, whatever you want. But I say six because they sit on the bottom where their stomach is, where you do the deveining. And that's how we hold them up. So once the prawns are held up, turn the heat completely off. The residual heat of the pan, we'll finish cooking them. And I promise you guys, they'll be perfect. Pull the prawn out. Turn the heat up to high. Deglaze the pan with half a cup of white wine. Reduce that by half. And then you're going to go ahead and add a tablespoon of organic pasture's raw milk butter or raw cultured butter. Give it a nice swirl. Sauce will incorporate and blend in perfect with the wine. And now you have yourself an unbelievable prawn or shrimp scampi. You can add a little bit of cayenne pepper if you want. I personally prefer Cooking Sensations Gourmet Seasonings, the Chipotle garlic blend, because it has all that flavor that we're looking for. And it's always a winner whenever we're doing this. And I actually have that, I believe, on my YouTube channel, how to do the prawns like that. I have to double check, though. I will have it on there because I did a dish. Last week we did my love prawns dish, and I have that all on – it's all on the camcorder, guys. I just haven't had time to record it, so please, or to share it. So bear with me. I'm going to try to get a lot caught up today and get a lot done because I really want to make sure that everybody, you know, is learning here. It's very important to me. Okay, so the next thing we're going to do is lobster tail. Now, my good friend Jillian wanted to know, how do you do lobster tail? Now, we could do whole lobster. Whole lobster is something I got to show you more than explain just because whole lobster is a different animal. But lobster tail, and I promise you this works. So, guys, listen up because your women will appreciate this. If you make them lobster tail the way I'm going to show you and tell you how to make it, you just can't go wrong. It does taste good every time. The first thing we need is a 300-degree oven. 300 degrees, not 305, not 315, not 325, not 290, not 285, not 275, 300. It has to be 300 degrees. This is the perfect temperature that I've learned for cooking lobster. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to clean the lobster tail. What I always like to use is a good pair of meat shears, or meat scissors, or poultry shears, whatever you have, some heavy-duty type of scissor. That's pretty much what it is. Holding the lobster tail up in front of you,
with the tail, with the, I guess you could call them the little fins. You know, there's three of them. There's one, two, three, and they spread open, and that's pretty much the back part of the lobster. So the back part facing away from you, get your scissors or your shears, whatever you have, cut all the way through the top, all the way till you get to the back part of the lobster tail. This is very careful, and I have to say this, guys, because I've cut myself at least 5 times in my career cleaning lobster. The damn things are sharp, they hurt, and you do not want to get a cut with lobster juice in it. I just think that'd be probably pretty crazy. So carefully remove the shell. You're going to have to put some you know, muscle into it. It will come off. Once the tail is exposed, you can oil if you want to. If you have some of that Pam spray or Spam, whatever they call it, Crisco spray, I always say, always works as well. On a nice baking sheet, place the amount of lobsters you want. If you want one, two, this is good for up to 5 lobster tails at 300. If you're going to do 10 or more, I'd say push up to 350. Put the lobsters on the pan. Put it right into the oven. Season with salt, pepper, and I love Cooking Sensations gourmet seasoning seafood blend. It's the perfect blend of everything you need to have really, really amazing seafood flavor. It's really good. Put it right into the oven. Turn it on. Allow that lobster to cook. And remember, it's a slow and low process. Now, the way we've always been taught to cook whole lobsters is to put them in a boiling pot of water, and then right when they turn, about to turn bright red, we pull them out, we shock them, and that stops the cooking process altogether. And that works as well. But for a lobster tail, something so delicate, which most people who consume lobster tail more than whole lobster. So I'm just letting you know, this works for Maine lobsters, works for Canadian lobster. I personally do this a lot with Canadian lobster. It's unbelievable. It tastes good. Everybody likes it. So like I said, 300 degrees. You're looking at about roughly 7 to maybe 8 minutes. If it needs to go a little bit more, put it in. But remember, while the lobster is cooling down, guess what, everybody? It's still going to be cooking. We're not going to shock this. This is coming right out of the oven, going right onto our plate. The lobster, like the prawns or the shrimp, when they get tough, they get rubbery. I cannot count the amount of times that I've had lobster that was rubbery, and it was disgusting. I don't want any of my guests cooking rubbery lobster at all. We want to make sure that the lobster is good. We want to make sure it's tender. And the best way to do it tender is to put it right in a pan, 300 degrees, and let it do its thing. It will, I promise you, it will cook. It'll be a nice slow and low process. If you think it's not ready, you're going to go fill it. I want everybody touching their food here. I know we're not supposed to play with our food, but with the Unthinked Chef, you need to play with your food, because this is going to help us to understand this whole cooking process and what's really going on here. Before you can be a great chef, you got to be a great cook. So like I said, you're going to be filling the lobster. If you touch the lobster and it's tight, and let's say this, it's starting to get tight. That's probably the better word. I want you to go ahead and turn the oven off. Leave the lobster in there. Let the residual cooking take place, maybe another 7 minutes. And I promise you guys, you don't need no butter. You don't need anything else. It is super delicious. It is super healthy. And it's so easy. Anybody can make this. And I tell people, how do you make lobster? And I tell them, oh, you don't put butter. You don't do this. And the reason why is lobster is so rich already, guys. We don't need extra butter. You know, we bought into this ridiculous idea that whenever we're eating lobster, we're supposed to have a half a pound of drawn butter right next to us, you know, with garlic in it. And I'm sorry, but you don't need to do that. Good lobster doesn't need to have all of these extras. We're trying to make a delicious product, and to make a delicious product, all we need is to put love into what we're doing. And I promise you guys, I've never had a bad piece of lobster. Same thing with salmon. Whenever I do salmon, I always make sure that I put Cooking Sensations, gourmet seasonings, the seafood blend, because it works for all seafood. It's amazing. I salt, pepper, put it in the oven, slow and low. With salmon, I'll go up to maybe about 350 and 325. So you tell me, was that 335, 330? It works. It works really good. I usually let the salmon cook for about 8 to 9 minutes. But anybody who's ever had questions on wanting to know how is it that we could cook Seafood Chef and be consistent at doing it, you could sear it in a pan and put it in the oven, or you could put it just directly in the oven if you're just learning how to cook seafood. If you're just learning how to cook seafood, you don't want to risk the fish sticking. You don't want to risk anything messing up in the pan and then putting a bad product in the oven. If you follow this technique, I promise you guys, it's fail-proof. Any and everybody can do it. And with salmon, what I love to do with my salmon is, and I'll give you guys my recipe here. I put it in a pan. I cook it down, mixture of olive oil and vegetable oil. I try to use the heart healthy stuff as much as possible. And it just gives me that nice flavor that I'm looking for. I season with the Cooking Sensations seafood blend, salt, pepper, and also a little bit of the Cooking Sensations chipotle garlic, because I like kicking all the food I cook. I put that in a nonstick pan, season side down, allow that to cook for about 2 minutes. Then carefully, with a fish spatula, which is a slotted spatula, long length, and it also has slits in it. Always works best for me. I prefer personally my Kuhn Rikon fish spatula. Flip that around, put that on a pan that's got no oil on it, because you don't need oil this time. The fish already has, salmon is a naturally oil fish. You don't need any excess oil. Put that on a pan, put that in the oven, allow that to cook for 8 to 9 minutes. Between 325, 350, I would say like 335, 340, something like that. And I promise you guys, you'll have an amazing piece of fish. And what you're going to do now with the pan, deglaze that with white wine, butter, and half a cup of cream. So you're going to use the white wine, half a cup, cream, half a cup. Bring that down by half. Add in a little bit more of the Cooking Sensations seafood blend or whatever spices you have. Always salt and pepper. And throw in there a little bit of a clove of garlic. Just make sure you cut the woody part off from the clove and throw it in there. Use a stick blender to blend it all the way to a nice creamy blend. While that's blending, add in there 2 teaspoons of xanthan gum. And now you have an amazing white wine sauce that's going to go beautiful with your salmon or with your shrimp. Whatever you want to serve it with, it's amazing. Topped with fresh capers, because capers just really ignite the flavor, in my opinion, of any kind of food. I think lemon caper sauce is one of the most overrated sauces. But, man, it sure is good, and I love it so much. And I know Mr. Grilling Ideas loves it so much. And that's what we try to do. We want to do beautiful food, and we want to do it unique, and we want to do it different. And what I'm definitely going to do for everybody is I'm really going to emphasize a lot on sharing seafood recipes during this Lent. I don't want you to feel like you guys are on your own at all, because we're all in the same boat together. We're trying to share this concept with everyone and everything. And I love what I do. Being the Untamed Chef doesn't mean I'm better than anybody. It doesn't mean any of that. It just means I want to make the best food I can. And there's an Untamed Chef in all of us. We just got to find it. If we could find that Untamed Chef that's buried deep within all of us, we have nothing to worry about. Good things come to those who really, really try. And if you try these recipes, you're going to get an unbelievable flavor. You're going to get unbelievable textures. And you're going to have a Lent that's going to go so good for you because of what you're eating. You're not even going to think twice about chickens and steaks. And don't get me wrong, the Untamed Chef's a carnivore. I love meat. I love the flavors that the good Lord has given us to enjoy while we're on this earth. But sometimes we could get more creative with seafood. We could get more different textures, flavors. I love what I do. I'm Albert J. Hernandez. You guys call me the Untamed Chef, and we'll talk next week. We'll be right back.